This is a study that Jim Cassidy and I have led together, and it started out as a very straightforward question of capecitabine oxaliplatin versus FOLFOX. So CAPOX versus FOLFOX, designed as a non-inferiority study. And shortly after we got into our patient accrual, the study showing that bevacizumab added meaningfully to IFL chemotherapy came out in the public domain. And that caused us to rethink the study and to repackage it as a 2x2 randomization, where patients were randomized first to CAPOX versus FOLFOX, and then to either placebo or bevacizumab. So there are two primary endpoints to the study, with progression-free survival being the target in each case. One endpoint is non-inferiority of CAPOX versus FOLFOX, and Jim Cassidy is presenting a poster to that effect tomorrow. I'm going to be discussing the superiority question of the addition of Bev to frontline oxaliplatin-based chemotherapy. The end of the story is it's a positive study. The primary endpoint of progression-free survival was improved with the addition of bevacizumab to frontline oxaliplatin-based therapy. The p-value was 0.0024, and the hazard ratio was 0.83. The incremental improvement was 1.4 months. Now, this is positive. This is confirmatory of the original IFL plus minus Bev study that Dr. Hurwitz made public. However, it's not as positive as we had hoped it would be in two respects. One, we would have liked to have seen a greater delta. We would have liked to have seen more improvement from the addition of Bev than we did. And two, we would have liked to have seen all the arms do better than they did. There was the sense that if we took FOLFOX, which was a superior regimen to IFL, and added bevacizumab to that, that we would start to see that target of a progression-free survival median around a year. And we did not see that in this study. In fact, the PFS median was 9.4 months. So Bev helps. It's appropriate to add to frontline therapy in that it improves the progression-free survival in that population. But we wanted to try to understand, if we could, why the differences was more modest than we would have hoped, and that I think we had reason to hope. We noticed a couple of interesting things. The first is that there is a as yet unexplained aberration in the FOLFOX plus placebo arm. So in the first portion of the study, where we have over 600 patients, a direct head-to-head CAPOX versus FOLFOX, the PFS curves are virtually superimposable. It fulfills the criteria for non-inferiority, and we're comfortable saying that CAPOX is non-inferior to FOLFOX. When we look at the subgroup of CAPOX Bev versus FOLFOX Bev, those curves are also right on top of each other, and the difference in median progression-free survival is 3 days, virtually identical. Yet when we look at the CAPOX placebo versus FOLFOX placebo curves, the FOLFOX placebo curve seemed to do a bit better, and that ate up some of the delta in the trial, leading at first to the appearance that the benefit wasn't significant in the subset that got FOLFOX. If you look at the direct comparison of FOLFOX placebo versus FOLFOX Bev, the difference is not statistically significant in the primary analysis. But we think that to some degree this is due to the aberration in the control arm that we don't have an explanation for. In addition, we looked at a secondary analysis that was pre-planned in the study of on-treatment progression-free survival. Now, I've always tended to think that progression-free survival was a pretty straightforward term. But in fact, there are two commonly used definitions, and I think many oncologists and clinical investigators did not have this on their radar screen. One definition, which was the primary endpoint of this trial, is the general progression-free survival, where an event is counted at either progression or death from any cause. No other issues are involved. An on-treatment PFS, which was the primary endpoint in the IFL plus minus Bev study, as well as the primary endpoint in the original IFL versus fluorouracil-leucovorin study, censors a patient if that patient has their event of progression or death more than 28 days out from the last treatment, So the definition of an on-treatment PFS is progression or death, but if that progression or death happens more than 28 days after the last dose of treatment, the patient is censored back to the last date of known non-progression. Well, when we look at that analysis on the study, which, as I said, was a pre-planned secondary analysis, it shows us a bit of a broader delta. It also shows us that the individual subsets of CAPOX versus CAPOX-BEV and FOLFOX versus FOLFOX-BEV also now have clear statistical significance in terms of the benefit. And the difference is in all likelihood accountable by early discontinuation of chemotherapy before progression. When we look at what happened on this trial, more than half of the patients discontinued for reasons other than progression or death. And our best hypothesis is that much of this discontinuation was due to what are likely to be oxaliplatin-based known toxicities, neurotoxicity primarily. And although the study permitted investigators to discontinue oxaliplatin and continue the fluoropyrimidines and the BEV, they didn't. And what we see looking at the study is when oxaliplatin stopped, everything stopped. And everything stopped several months before progression or death.